Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Kalia Sage is joining us. And Kalia is an NDE survivor, an intuitive reader, psychic medium, and a wellness and spiritual coach. And she's joining us today to share her NDE story. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to listen to this today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always such a joy to be able to share this mind-boggling story with the world. So I'm really excited to be here.
Definitely. So before you walk us through what happened, I always want to understand, what were your beliefs about, I guess, life, death, and God before all of this happened? Were you Christian, atheist, agnostic? Let's set the tone, because I'm curious.
Yes, and that's a great place to start. I was very Christian, raised Southern Baptist. I've been raised in the South in America my whole life. So I believed in God and Jesus, and that was the only way, and it was the best way, and the only truth, all of that. Death, I was very afraid of death. I've always had this sort of fear about death ever since I was a little kid, and I saw a dead puppy one time, and it just messed me up. But I was always really fearful of death, especially being in Christianity where, you know, we're taught to fear hell, and if you don't do this the right way, you're going to burn forever, you know? So that was my thought process about God and death. And I think, what was there another one you said?
The afterlife and...
I didn't really believe in like reincarnation or anything spiritual. You know, we were taught that that was demonic and that was wrong. So I never believed in witchcraft or magic or spiritual anything. I didn't meditate. I mean, I was very, very conservative before this happened. And I think that's what makes it even more extraordinary, is because I was so like lost. And, you know, now I understand finding truth and light is not in coercion and fear. So it's when you put it like that, it's like, wow, it really was contrast. So yeah, I was very Christian before it.
So walk us through exactly what happened.
Prepare. No, it was a lot. So at the time that this whole near-death experience happened, I was 23. I was in grad school. I was really struggling. I was depressed. I hadn't really dealt with any of the trauma in my life. Like I was in therapy, but I wasn't dealing with my pain and my trauma, and I definitely wasn't in the mindset of healing. It was more so suppression, get over it, work, get your work done, production. But I was burning out. So I got really, really vulnerable. And I've struggled with suicidal ideation since I was 11 years old. And that was something that was starting to affect me again. And, you know, again, at that point in my life, I'm like, I'm praying and God's not delivering me from this. Like, what am I doing wrong? You know, I'm a good person. I'm going to mission trips. I help people. I love, you know, why am I suffering? And so I ended up taking a medication, Lamictal, prescribed by a doctor, and took it for 28 days. And around day 21, 22-ish, I started having some symptoms, but it wasn't anything like crazy. You know, it didn't get obliterated crazy until it was way too late at that point. It happened really, really fast. But I woke up in the middle of the night and I had blisters all over my face, all over my mouth, like all the skin on my lips was gone. And I was just horrified. Like, and I had no idea that anything like this could happen. Like I was in health, you know, my major's in health, my degrees are in health. So it was like, oh my God, what is this? And so I ended up getting to the hospital and they're like, hey, we can't treat you here because your skin, you're losing your skin. And even when she said that, I was just like, what do you mean I'm losing my skin? And this progressed like in 24 hours. Like I went from looking like my normal self, like normal, you know, chocolate, light brown kind of thing, to black. Like my skin was like as black as your hair. Like it was did. And it progressed so quickly. It went from like little spots to full on. My skin was like coming off of my face, my lips, my ears, everything. So long story short, it turned into me needing to be medically induced into a coma because I was losing my skin. I was going into multi-organ failure. I was bleeding. You know, there was risk of sepsis. There were so many things. So they actually put me in a medically induced coma, and I ended up being in that coma for 37 days before they started to wake me up. I had some intermittent experiences before I was like officially awake, but I was in a coma for 37 days, and no one told me that this was because of the medication until after I woke up.
Oh my God.
I had no idea like that it was going to get that bad. Like the very last thing that I remember before completely going out was, you know, I'd been transferred to another hospital, and I remember getting there, and it was like this scene of Grey's Anatomy, and I felt like I was important because like all the doctors were waiting on me. And I was just like, oh my God, are they here for me? And they're like, yeah. And so it was really bad. Again, it was this experience of like, you know, we're used to waiting in America. You wait in the waiting room, but they were getting me back like really, really fast. So me coming from health, I was like, this is bad. So I remember there was a point that they needed to intubate me because my throat was starting to close and it was, you know, infecting my breathing. And they're telling me this and I'm like, okay, yeah. And it was still this weird thing. Like I was not asleep like a normal person when they're intubated to be, you know, a tube down your throat. You're normally out for that. Like immediately, but I was not, I was awake. I was dancing to the beeps of the IV drips. I was strumming up photography business. I was writing on a whiteboard, talking to people. I was way too awake. And even at that point, they were like, this is not normal. And so I remember the doctor coming in and telling me like, okay, you have Steven Johnson syndrome. And I was like, you know, I'm writing on the whiteboard. I'm like, who the fuck is Steven Johnson? Because he can miss ass whooping when I'm done with this. Like, and it was just so like, oh my goodness, sorry, my doctor. Delivery people, but it was just like, what? And so that was the last thing I heard. That was the last thing they told me. Next thing I know, I was like in this spirit body, which I had no words for this. I had no cognitive understanding of what this experience was. I was just in it. It was just like, boom. And all of a sudden, I was standing, like, not even standing. It was just like, I could see what they were doing like to my body. And I was like, oh my God, am I dead? Oh my God, is this what it feels like to die? Like, I didn't know. I was freaking out a little bit. And so it just then started the whole experience of being in the coma and having an outer body experience and visiting all the realms. So we can definitely talk more about that. But that's what happened to get me there. I took a medication. 28 days later, my skin burned off in my sleep. And then, boom, went into a coma for 37 days.
Oh my God, that's so scary. I can't even, I mean, that's just frightening because you're going to the ER thinking maybe it's something that can just be resolved pretty quickly. And you're in a coma.
That's exactly what I thought. So much. I thought I was going home that I only brought my phone charger and my IDs. That was it. I wasn't thinking like, I'm about to be in the hospital for, I'm like, no, they're going to give me some medicine and I'm going to, you know, maybe be here for a few hours, maybe spend the night and then I'll go home. I had no idea that it was going to be an entire ordeal. And then to know, like, I was taking this medication because I was depressed and I was struggling with suicidal ideations. So, of course, you know, finding out later that the medicine that was anti-suicide almost killed me was like totally like, oh my God, I almost died asking for help. And that was really hard to digest, especially when they told me I had Steven Johnson's, they didn't really explain, like, it's because of this medicine that you've been taking. They just said, hey, this is what it is. Because when I went to the first hospital, they were like, oh, you're having an allergic reaction. And, you know, I've seen people have allergic reactions. You know, you give them some medicine, stop the reaction, and that's it. So I had no idea that this was a different type of immune response. And, you know, there's different types of allergies. And this was an adverse reaction to the drug that I was, unbeknownst to me, being improperly given against FDA regulations, like whole thing I unpacked from that. And then little did I know that this drug had a black box warning for Steven Johnson syndrome. And my providers never told me. even though I asked and they lied to me. So it was really hard when I woke up and they were like, it was the medicine.
Yeah.
And when I did wake up, you know, I couldn't talk for like, I think it was about a week, maybe a few days more than a week. I had a trach. So I was awake trying to figure out what was going on and I couldn't talk. It was like, I was mute and I was stuck inside my body. I mean, that alone was an experience, you know? So I had no idea. I had no idea that millions of dollars later to save my life, that this medication that a doctor gave me was the reason that it happened.
Yeah, that is number one. It's so scary. I can't even imagine being in that position because, okay, you're taken to another hospital and what happens in between? Like, are you aware that you're going to be placed in a coma? Like, did they tell you, like, did you have consciousness when that happened or it just happened and you have no
awareness? They told me I had Steven Johnson syndrome and I was like, who the fuck is Steven Johnson? And then that was it. Like, they never said we're going to put you in a coma. They didn't say anything. It was just, you know, at that point I was so critical and they were, you know, I was having organ failure. There were so many things that they were doing to try to keep me alive. I think ultimately I believe that they didn't want to scare me. I think that, you know, and I do think that was part of my saving grace was that I didn't really know how serious it was until I woke up. And so I think by that point, you know, your mind would fragment to know something that's scary. You know, I would have been terrified to see, we're going to have to put you in a coma. I would have been like, oh my God, I'm never going to make it back. Like, it would have put me in a panic, you know? So I honestly believe, like, you know, looking back, I feel like that was part of, you know, my saving, my grace, my mercy, was that I had no idea. Even when I looked in the mirror and I saw that half my face was missing, like, it was like something in my brain was like, and I just went into, okay, I need to go to the hospital. I need clothes. So I'm like, you know, it just, you go into this protective mode when you're dealing with something like that. It's like, I didn't even know the impact of what it was. And I'm glad, honestly, because I think me not freaking out honestly saved me from like not bleeding out all over my apartment. It saved me from not having a mental breakdown in the hospital when they're like, yeah, you're not going anywhere. Like, right. So there's always been a calling over my life, even before I knew my power, before I knew who I was and all that stuff. Like, I've always had this protection, even from myself. And even when I've tried to harm myself, there's always been this protection over me. So I think that was part of it.
Definitely.
I lost it.
Oh my God. Yes. I think I'd be totally terrified if I knew, if they were telling me and I was awake, like, okay, now we have to put you in a coma to save you.
Yeah,
I would have a total, I would be freaking out.
Yeah, I would have freaked out. I would have like hyper, you know, everything would have just heart attack, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so let's start at, you're over your body and you're wondering if you're dead. Are there any initial thoughts about, oh my God, am I going to hell? And I ask this because, you know, again, you have this deep roots with Christianity, with these like, what is it, like fire and brimstone,
yes,
beliefs. So,
you
know, yes. And I was raised the same way too. So
okay.
Is this the first thought that you have, or is it like, this is
My first thought was, am I dead? That was my first thought. And I knew that I wasn't in hell because, you know, everything that I had this picture of hell was just this very dark, scary place and fire everywhere and there's violence and all the sin lives in hell, you know.
Okay.
But I was in my hospital room. I was seeing the doctors, you know, doing stuff. I was seeing my family in different rooms. I was seeing people in the hospital. I was just freely able to move. So that's what made me think I was dead. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm dead, then what is the, you know, what's happening next? And but there was no language. Like, I wasn't using my mouth. I mean, it was literally like, I like to describe it as like just the mist part of me. Like, it was like, you know, me, but it was like my spirit. And like, it wasn't a body. I wasn't like, didn't see my arms and stuff, but it was just like my essence kind of was just looking at this. And so the next thing I know, there's like this, what I called at the time, like a light body. It just looked like this, like if you looked into the sun and there's just light, but it's like kind of in this outline of a person, but not male or female, just, you know, something that felt like it's human. I should talk to it. And it could communicate with me. Like, I didn't have to use words, but it was telling me like, you're not dead. You're okay. Like, relax. Like, everything's all right. And I'm just like, what is going on? You know, like, it's so funny because even in this form, I was me. And this is what lets me know you know, we're attached to our souls, our personality, and these things about us that make us us. It's in our soul. Cause I was talking shit. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Like, I was asking questions. I'm like, what is going on? Is this happening? Who's in charge? Like, what do you think? So they're like, you know, just kind of holding me. And I can see that when it's with me, like, you know, there's kind of this sparkliness that's happening, like, between us. Like, I can just see, like, it's on me, it's on them. And they're just reassuring me. So I'm starting to, like, calm down. And I'm like, okay, I'm not dead. You know, they kept telling me I'm not dead. And, you know, you just have to go on this journey. There's things that you need to see. And so I'm like, what I need to see? And who are you? Like,
yeah.
Who are you? And they're just like, I can be whatever you want me to be. And it was like, okay, I'm just your guide. And I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, all right. You know, and so in, I guess in that part of me, I was like, okay, the Bible kind of talks about this. You know, you hear about people leading you to heaven, you know, things like that. So I'm just, but I didn't feel fearful of it. And that was what made me say, okay, let me just see what this is about. Like, I was curious. So I was like, okay. So then it was like, all right, they want to take me on this journey, but they didn't tell me like what it was or why. It was just like, you need to see this. So I'm like, okay. So it immediately takes me like back to my past, like to a very, very dark, 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 dark place in my past, in my childhood, where I was being horrifically abused by men in my family. And it was just a whole thing. But it was clear that I needed to see this because this was a part of what I needed to heal. And again, none of this was like English. It was more just like feeling and like, immediately when I would think something, it would get answered. Like, there was no separation or lapse between the communication. It wasn't anything that had to be processed. It was just boom. So like everything I wanted to know was just like coming at me like instantly. So I'm like, why am I here? And so then, you know, I'm having to watch this to a friend of mine at the time. Like, it wasn't happening to me, but they forced me to watch what happened to me happen to her. And it was like, oh my God. And so they literally, like, not the guide, but now I'm sort of back in this past place. And what I noticed was like, it was really dense. And they were very clear. Like, they were like, you can't touch nothing. Don't, and it was very Black mama-ish. We gonna go in here. You don't touch nothing. Don't ask nothing. You just gonna sit here and look. Like, So I didn't understand that at the time, but it was that nothing can be altered from the past. And so they were like, you know, this is just for observing. You can't change this. So I'm sitting there and I'm like sort of tied to this chair and it's kind of scary, but they're basically just telling me I have to watch. And literally, one of the most horrific things that happened to me as a child, I had to watch it happen to my friend. And I'm just like having this experience that I didn't have for myself. I think when I looked at my own pain, like in my human body, just looking at my past, I would think, you know, I deserve this, or there was something about me that, you know, all these lies and shame and just guilt that wasn't mine. Like, I couldn't see that if I wasn't seeing it for somebody else, because I was notorious at that point in my life for giving my power away, giving my energy away, and not giving it to myself, not loving myself, but loving everybody else in hopes that, you know, they would love me, kind of thing. So what that looks like spiritually and energetically is poking holes in your aura and it's like leaking out of you. So that's kind of what they were showing me, this in different ways. But they were clear that I had to watch this. I had to process this. And so then it was like, okay, I had to watch this past thing. And then I kept wanting to go back and check on my body. And they told me like I could go back and check on it, but I needed to see all the other things. And so I would go back and like make sure I wasn't dead. And I would see my family there and like see different things. And then at one point, like, my spirit body was able to go in real time and visit my grandfather, who was at the hospital in a different state. In the hospital himself, I was able to go and visit him. Wow. And I was talking to him. I was having a full-fledged conversation with him, like telling him he needed to have surgery and telling him he needed to do what the doctor said, and just totally like live, you know, moment. So much that when I woke up, I thought that this had actually happened. And I thought that I was there to talk to him. And little did I know that while I was asleep in a coma, my grandfather got put in the hospital because he needed gallbladder surgery. And So that was actively going on. And so what I, again, didn't realize was in the moment, but that was the message of, we're able to see things in the past. We're able to remote view. We're able to see things in the future. We're able to move within these realms because they're all connected, type thing. But I just thought I was visiting my grandfather. So I'm like, okay, take your medicine. I got to go do this stuff. Like, I'll be back. So cool. I then get back to this, like, there was just all this symbolism. Like, so I'm back with my friend and my grandmother's there. She rescues my friend and She takes her bag. And again, this is more of a symbolism of how things should have been for me, but they weren't. So when I'm seeing this, I'm seeing, okay, she's going to the hospital, she's getting this, and they're showing me her mom. Okay, now in real life, I have never seen this lady. I've never met her, never seen a picture of her, nothing. But in this dream space, in this spirit space, I see her mom, I see her at the hospital, and I'm talking to her and telling her what happened, all these things. And then, okay, glimpse that moment. Now I'm seeing like this bus fire and there's these kids coming out of it. And it's just like really violent stuff. But it's like, I'm not scared while I'm watching it. And I know that like, okay, I don't know what this means right now, but like, this is something. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm sort of like moved through different things. And so then at one point I'm like, okay, I don't want to see this anymore. Like, this is, what is the point of this? You know, all this happened in the past. Like, what am I supposed to do with this now? And instantly I'm just like, okay, in this other realm, and there's like, I can see everything, like all these different figures, all these different beings. I don't know that they're like the gods and goddesses, but I can just see that like there's sparkly stuff around all of these things. And I can sort of see them at a distance. But then there, I also see like angels, but they don't look like angels, like what the Bible says they look like. They look like Transformers. They look like these weird mechanical things. But again, I'm not fearful. And even though it looked different than what I was expecting, it was just like, I could see that it was true. And I could see, like, again, this sparkle light, this thing that was attached to everything was also with this thing. And so then it's like, okay, this is dark, you know, what am I seeing? And so I'm sort of asking this guy, like, okay, what does this have to do? Like, is this darkness? Like, is this the stuff that was in my past? Like, are these demons? You know, what is going on? So they're like, you know, I can sort of revert back and just sort of turn and see the thing, you know, the experience from my past that I just saw, and I can see it again. And so I'm sort of like seeing darkness, but it's not this darkness. It's a different kind of darkness. And then there's still that light there. So I'm like, what does this mean? So, okay, cool. All right. Then there's just other stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I can just become anything that I think of. Like, there was this moment where it was like clear that my thoughts were controlling where I was going and what I was doing. And I was just like, I want to be a raindrop, like some kid ass shit that I would do. Like, you could be anything in the universe. You want to be a raindrop. Like, cool. So then it was that I could take on the embodiment of like anything. A tree, a animal, a person, like just anything. Like, I was able to just think it and then boom, I could just tap into it and I could take on that perspective. And it was just like, okay, why am I seeing this? Why am I seeing this? And so there was another point that I'm seeing like Antarctica. Again, didn't see anything about Antarctica. I never been to Antarctica. I ain't heard Antarctica since seventh grade geography. And I'm like, why are you taking me to Antarctica? But I was like on this boat looking thing. And it was just sort of showing me that there was like something in the icebergs. Didn't know what, didn't know why, didn't know how, didn't know what else was through the information. But I just knew that there was life. There was something life. There was lit energy inside of the icebergs. And so I'm just like, okay. So again, I'm just sort of being taken through all these random things. And I'm just like, what? So then at one point, again, now it's sort of my own life stuff again. So at one point, my friend at the time who was pregnant. So here's this element of new life is coming. So transient souls. She's pregnant at the time. And right before I went into my coma, we didn't know what she was having, whether she was having a boy or a girl. She was going to find out in those next few weeks. So in real life, she had a gender reveal party while I was asleep, but she didn't want to expose it, you know, to the public until she could tell me. But in my spirit space, I went to the gender reveal party. So like I was there and I was able to see everything that they were doing. Again, this was sort of that remote viewing ability that I didn't know that that's what I was doing, because all of this felt real to me. Like there was no separation of fake, real, you know, it was just real. So I'm seeing that, okay, there's this cake and okay, I see it's a boy. Great. I see the name. I see all the things. I'm like, okay, some great. And so then fast forward to when I wake up, and she comes to visit me to tell me what the baby is. I'm looking at her, dumb, stupid, like, it's a boy. We had a party. What are you talking about? And she just looks at me like, she's like, just open the gift. And I'm like, what? She's like, Cleo, you were not at the party. I'm like, yes, I was. And I start giving her details, very explicit details that you would only know if you were there. And she's just looking at me like, and she knows I'm not wrong, but how would I know that, right? So That was an experience that I had that let me know.
So what are you thinking throughout this whole process? You're seeing these weird looking types of beings of light, we'll put it that way. You're kind of, you know, being, I don't want to say taken to, but you're going between like all these random realms, you're remote viewing into things. So all these very strange foreign things are happening that you've never experienced, or you probably never read of, right? Of it being like, of it existing before this. What's your frame of mind? Like, okay,
I'm dead.
I'm just going with the
I'm
flow.
Dead. I thought I was dead. I kept going back to that concept. Like, I was like, I'm dead. Like, this has to be what happens when you die, because this is just weird. Like, I could tell that, okay, I'm still alive and my body's here and I can see my family and I can see all these things. Like, I thought I was dead. I kept thinking that. And even more so, it was like, why am I not dead yet? Because I kept going back to check on my body and I could see that it was, you know, there. And then that's when the guide's telling me, like, you're not dead. You're not going to die. You just have to see all of this stuff. And so at this point, I'm getting what I would label the human emotion of frustrated and just like, I'm over this. Like, what's the point? Where is the manager? I'm ready to see God because I'm clearly almost not dead. So like, where's God? Like, I'm tired of this. This has been fun. This is cute. But like, where's the manager? That was definitely my energy. And so the next thing I'm just like, shoom. So I'm in this like space and there's like these stairs. And they're big. And again, it's like, I am the size of like a molecule, it seems, but I'm able to move so freely. And so at this point, I'm expecting to see God. I'm expecting to see white Jesus. I'm expecting to see a man on a throne who's like, daddy's been waiting for you to get home. I was pissed when I see that this is a giant mirror and it's just like the most beautiful extravagant thing I've ever seen. And immediately upon being in its presence, I am just undone. Like, my emotion is just like, again, there's not really emotion in this space, but I'm crying. Like, my soul is just like crying. I'm having every emotion, every feeling, but it's just positive. Like, it's like warm and love and acceptance, like love that I've never, ever, ever, ever felt in this world. So I knew intrinsically that this was God, even though it wasn't what I visualized as God, like I knew that it was. And then the guide is being very clear that like, I cannot stay here. Like, this is for, again, viewing purposes only. If you try to get too close to it, you will not be able to come back and you have to come back. Like, they were so loud about that. Like, you have to come back. Like, I did not have a choice. I was one of those near death experiencers that they did not give me a choice. They were clear the whole time, even though I kept saying, I'm dead. I have to be dead. This is dead. This is dead. And they're like, no, you're not going to die. So I did not have a choice, but they're telling me, okay, you can go, but you have to stay, you know, within a distance of it. So in this mirror, I was able to see everything that there ever was, ever been, ever will be, like, and you can just see the oneness that everything is like connected for real. Like, anything that I brought into that consciousness space was right there in the mirror. But and it's funny because I unpack different details in different interviews, but I'm noticing and remembering that when I looked in the mirror, it was like not a mirrored view. It was like a prism. And I've said that before, that it was like this prism sort of reflection, shiny thing. But when we look in a physical mirror, it's inverted. But it wasn't like that. It was literally like seeing it in realness, like in this real reflection. So it was just like, oh my gosh, but I was able to see the things from the past. And of course, I'm in my humanness in this moment. So I'm asking the questions like, where were you when all this terrible stuff was happening to me? Why did all of this terrible stuff happen to me? You know, what is, you know, why did I go through so much pain? And it was instantly, it's like I could just see the connections of all the things. So before, when I mentioned that, you know, I sort of looked back to that past thing and I saw darkness and I could see the light too, I was even able to see it even clearer, like that this duality of darkness is light and light exist at the same time. Like, so it's not that that experience was all darkness. The pain of it was all darkness, but there was also this thing that was sort of separating my consciousness from my body so that I wouldn't absorb all of that pain. And it was sort of like holding my memories and holding my just spiritualness so that my body was experiencing it, but I wasn't experiencing it. And so that's what it was like explaining to me. And then it was showing me like you know, when I was a kid, I was always like, you know, if God is real, then why doesn't he take the bad guys out? You know, and so I'm having that thought. I could see that thought when I had it as a kid, as I'm looking in the mirror, and I see that, like, even in those bad people, there's something trying to counteract that darkness with light. And it's up to that person to decide if they want to take it or not. And so it's still that, like, free will thing, but not how we thought it was. And so it was just like, okay, but then what was the purpose of all of this? Like, if you're just going to let people be bad, then, like, what, you know? And it's funny because it's like, again, I was me, like, I was asking all these real questions, because it's like, I could have asked anything. I could have asked, you know, what are the secrets of the universe? What's coming next? You know, but that moment was for me to see me. And that is what, I didn't even realize the impact of that. And I didn't understand that we are God, and that we are just the fragments, the reflection of God, and God in human form. And when we go to God, we're really going to our higher selves. And I didn't know all of that then, but I'm just like, so I then started to see, like, you know, I'm asking the questions of what am I supposed to do with all of this? And so I was able to see a glimpse, like, of my future, of the future of the world. That was really heavy because, again, I'm under the mindset that none of this spiritual stuff, psychics, mediums, none of that is real. It's shamanic. Da, da, da. So I'm just like, I've never forgotten the images. I've never forgotten the details. And I just knew, like, okay, this is real, because I could see that it had that light thing that was attached to everything. I could see it had that. And as long as everything had that, I was able to connect with it and sort of tap into it. And so I'm like, okay. And so fast forward to when I'm in my waking life and I started seeing those things happen in real life, it was like, oh, wow. And so every time that happened after the experience, there would be like this spark thing that would happen. There'd be another part of my spiritual awakening, another part of my understanding of telepathy or spiritual gifts or our abilities or all the things, you know. And it's like, okay, but what am I supposed to do with all this? And it was clear that when I saw the whole picture, it was about healing ourselves. It was about healing ourselves, heals the world. Because I could see, like, the globe was like lit up, and it kind of showed me this, what we used to be before there was separation. And I think that word is Pangea. Again, seventh grade geography, please don't clock it. But
no, yes, you're right.
Yeah, but it was showing me sort of that. And again, it was highlighting this oneness, that we're all connected. Every being, every living thing is connected. And so I'm like, okay, so I'm seeing that, you know, this healing thing is real. And it's like, we all have the ability to heal ourselves, but it starts with healing ourselves on the body, mind, spirit. And by doing all of that at the same time is when we can move that energy, you know, fluidly and easily and flow. It just kind of leaves. But through all of our emotions, through fear, through doubt, through shame, those things, like, block us from being able to have, like, clear channels. And so I could see, like, everything that I saw in that mirror, and I looked at anything, and if a person had hate in them, like, you could just see that on them. You could see it in their energy, and you could see it in that they had a light, but it wasn't as bright as all the other ones. And it was just sort of like ashy. I don't know another way to describe it, but it was just like, they had a light because everything has light, but it was just like clouded. I don't know. But so processing all of that stuff, it didn't start making sense to me, like I said, until it started showing up in my physical reality. And the very first thing that started showing up, or one of the first things, was, remember when I said I met my friend's mom and I had never seen her in real life. And so that same friend who I saw in the dream, she was getting married. And so I went to her bridal shower. And it was so strange because when I get there, her mom is standing outside in the exact same way that she was standing outside of the hospital. And her hair is exactly how it was. Like, everything about her looked exactly how it did. But 4 years later, when I met her in real life. And so I'm just like, I knew that this was significant, but I didn't know why. And then a little bit later, I find out, oh, yeah, you can see the future. That was the evidence that you were seeing a person's face that you've never seen before. Here's the evidence. And so then I find out that her mom had just cut her hair. And for all her life, she had had long hair. And it was only 2 weeks before the shower that she cut her hair. And I'm like, when she's telling me that, instantly my spiritual knobs are turning, because I'm like, how did I see her haircut that she never had 4 years ago? But it's today, but I saw it 4 years ago, but she didn't do it until today. And that was the understanding of, like, again, the past, present, and future is all connected. There is no separation. It's all happening at the same time. It's just that, like, we're, you know, I'd like to think of it as like a cake, like layers of a cake. We're at the bottom, but our spirit, our aura, our understanding, our spirituality is right at the top of the cake. It's the sprinkles. So when stuff comes into our reality, into our life, it's hitting that 5D first, but we don't see it until later. So even though she didn't do that until 4 years later, my spirit, being as high and in that spirit space as it was able to see something that hadn't physically hit the reality yet, but it was starting to hit the reality. So I'm like, what? So all of this was so overwhelming to process. It took me 11 years to figure out what all of this meant. And that was low-key a part of the message too. Our healing is not meant to be this microwave healing where you do something one time and boom, you're magically fixed. It's not magic in that way. It is magical, but it's meant to be a lifestyle, and it's meant to be some, we're meant to be living a spiritual lifestyle. And that doesn't mean we're not supposed to have human experiences, but it was just clear that, like, nothing is meant to be one time. It's meant to be something you do because you love yourself. You don't love yourself and just say, oh, well, I gave you one birthday present one time, so cool, you're great for all the rest of them. No, it's meant to be a love offering, a love experience, love relationship. And that was so loud that, again, this whole concept that I had of God being outside of myself, it's not right. And really, it was me, and me accessing God meant me loving myself, which ironically is what church and religion teaches you not to do. It teaches you to put yourself last. And it's like, whatever that acronym is, Jesus, others, yourself, or whatever. But doing that separates you from God. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that, oh, I have to actually put myself first. I have to actually take care of myself first. And that's the way to heal. So for years, I didn't want to do that because I was still trying to just get back to normal. So I just tried to go back to church. I tried to continue life as I knew it, but I couldn't unsee anything. And every time I would go into any space, I could see what had that light in the brightest form and what had it dimmed. And every church I went into, every negative person I went around, every hateful person had that. And I was just like, and it was hard because I wanted to believe that everything I had been taught as a child was right. And it was really hard for me to abandon that. But I knew that every time I would have one of these experiences, I could sort of tap back into that spiritual space and see what I saw again. And I would see, like, this was a part of it. Remember when you saw this, like, this is why. And I knew that coming out of that and releasing myself from that religious oppression, fear, that shame, that hate, was going to allow me to love myself in such a way that I would never want to hurt myself like I did before. And that's what was such a contrast difference, is that when I woke up, you would have thought all of this stuff that happened to me, I would have been suicidal again, you know, having to rehabilitate. I had to learn how to walk, eat, sit up, swallow, everything all over again. But I had this unexplainable joy, unexplainable peace, unexplainable resilience to be able to function with all of this stuff. And I was just me. And I knew that that was from wherever I had been. And, like, I just knew, okay, I'm meant for something. And I don't understand all of this right now, but they're telling me I need to heal myself, so I'm going to do it. And I don't really know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to do it. You know, this was sort of the conversations I was having in that week when I woke up and I didn't have a voice yet. I was sort of just, like, talking to myself. But there was also another weird experience I want to share with that, because they started waking me up. Because again, I told you I was in the medically induced coma. So when they started trying to wake me up, I started having seizures. And so there was another experience where after I had woke up, I had a really bad seizure and I hopped out of my body again and had another out of body experience where I'm standing there in spirit body watching the doctors do everything, you know, that they're doing to me. And so a neurologist happened to be on the floor at the time. And so she's coming into the hospital room and examining me and observing that I'm actively having a seizure. They are pushing the Ativan. They are taking my blood pressure, making sure I'm not stroking out, like all the things. And I'm clearly unconscious, but I'm in spirit form cussing them out because this lady took a pen and she smashed my toe with it trying to see. And it's like I could just know things when I was in this space. Like, I didn't know it cognitively, but I knew that she was testing me, like, to see, like, if I was going to have some type of reaction to seizures or something. But in my human brain spirit part, I'm like, bitch, that's my toe, and I don't have a toenail, and there's no skin on it. Like, why are you being rough with me? Like, it was so excessive. But so then, you know, boop, they bring me back from the seizure. I pop back into my body, and I'm looking at the doctor, and I'm like, why did you smash my toe with that pin? And she looks at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, don't, like, you don't know what I'm talking about. You took that pin right there. And once again, I'm giving the whole synopsis of what happened while I was unconscious. And they're just looking, and nobody's denying what I'm saying because they know that what I'm saying is real. They just don't know how I know. And so she's just like, there's no way you can know that. And I'm just like, well, obviously I'm saying it. So obviously you're not saying I'm lying. So obviously it's true. Like, I just want to know why you smashed my toe. Like, forget all that other shit. I don't know why I did that. So it was just like insane. But again, I couldn't process these experiences. Like, I was so like in shock, you know, that that had happened. And at this point, when this is happening, I'd been awake for a couple of days. They took the trach out. So I'm thinking everything's going back to normal. And then now, boom, now I'm having this spiritual experience again. I'm in spirit body. So I'm just like, oh my God, am I going to die again? But I could tell in that moment that it was going to be short because I could, I could only see inside the room. When I had that second experience, I wasn't able to leave the room. It was just like, I could pop out right there and that was really it. And then I just pop back into my body. But before, when I popped out the first time, the journey time, I could go anywhere. I could see anything and I could just move in an instant. So.
So when you, okay, the mirror, God, you said you felt disappointment that it wasn't what you were expecting, what you've been told, like in church.
There was that a little bit. It's hard to call it disappointment. Maybe I should have picked a better word. It's hard to bring human words to these experiences. There's no word for it. It wasn't disappointment. It was just like, this isn't what I was expecting. Mm. But that thought and the next thing happened so quickly that there wasn't even really time for that to linger. Like, there was no disappointment in what it was. It was just, I thought I was going to see something different. My human brain was expecting to see white Jesus. And that's not what was there, but it was like quickly fixed. Like, as soon as I had that thought, it was like, boom. And then, like I said, I was just more experiencing the feeling of being bite. And I knew that it was real. I knew that it was true. And that part was like, again, just overwhelming. I don't have a lot of human words to describe that. All I can just imagine crying and being held and it's warm and you don't even need tissue and your tears just go exactly where they need to go. And everything's just okay. Like, that's what it was after that. But that moment of disappointment, or I was expecting something else, literally lasted maybe even 0.00001. And then it was like, oh, this is what I've been looking for. This is the truth. And so I think the disappointment part was the process afterwards. And I think that's why I said it that way, because I thought I was crazy. I thought that this experience, like, I didn't talk about this part of it, you know, what happened during my coma. I didn't talk about it. And I thought it was crazy. And I thought people would label me crazy. So I just thought, you know, it's just a weird thing that happened. You know, Khalil, you almost died. What do you expect? You know, so, but the more I tried to see God for what it wasn't, that's where the disappointment was. That's where I could see everything instantly. When I would hear people talk about God and talk about the Holy Spirit, immediately I would be like, that's not true. Like, that's not true at all. And here's the funny part. That part of me was with me when I was, you know, younger in my Christian conservative days. I always used to question things in church. I was that kid that got kicked out of Sunday school a lot for disturbing the other kids from asking questions. So, but it's like now that part of me was not clouded anymore. So when I would see it, I could see it for what it was without the doubt and fear of asking the question. And that's where it was like, oh, so religion is oppressing us by, that's the thing that they teach you. You're not supposed to doubt God. You're not supposed to question God. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to ask any questions at all. You're just supposed to go along with this and just have blind faith. But what I found in my situation was that there is no blindness in faith when you truly can see truth. They enable us to see everything that we need to see. We have to believe that we can. And we have to be in the frequency of love to see clearly. And it's like, oh. So it was more of like the disappointment lived in everything I knew was a lie. Everything I thought was true was a lie. And that part hurt because that was something I carried for so long. And, you know, being a Christian was my entire identity before this experience. So what am I supposed to do with, who am I now? And that was the question. You know, when I started asking those questions, that's when my spiritual awakening started unpack. Every time I would ask one of those questions, it was like, boom, I could see more, I could experience more. But the disappointment was everything I thought was true was a lie.
So, you know, very similarly, I was raised the same way. Like, you're not allowed to ask any questions about anything, period. That was very normal for me growing up. Like, what you're told in the church, that's fact, and take that as the truth. And if you're questioning, then you're doubting God. You're questioning God.
Yes.
You're question God's authority.
Who are you to question God?
Yes. All the time. That was always in my head. But yet, you know, there's always these little looming doubts, like when things don't make sense.
Exactly.
You know, and there's a lot that doesn't make sense. So let me ask you this. So I'm so curious about this. So
ask
you're coming out of your coma. And yes, there's a long road to recover, right?
Very long.
are you even thinking like, well, where's Jesus in this story, in this narrative? Like, you know, Christianity is pretty much like Christianity. I think it's almost like the dominant religion of the world, for various reasons we won't get into.
Yeah, but we won't get into that.
Reasons that we know the truth.
Yeah.
Are you thinking like, where is, you know, where is Jesus, my savior? You know what I mean? Like that perspective, where's the change in thinking when it comes to that?
Oh yeah. And so that was a question I asked a lot. And so of course I went looking for Jesus in the Christian people that were around me. And so interestingly enough, again, remember when I talked about, I saw a bunch of figures, but I didn't really see them close up. Like I could just see that they were important figures. Jesus was there. It wasn't that I didn't see him. It wasn't a highlight. It wasn't the focal point, because I think that thing is more of a consciousness. I think Jesus is more of a consciousness. Like, is it a person? Possibly. Yeah. But it was never meant, even Jesus in their Bible says he was never meant to be worshipped. He was never meant to be an idol. It was him teaching us how we could live, what our power was, who we were, that we are God. It was supposed to be that. But when I woke up, because I was suffering, there was such a long road of recovery. Like I said, learning how to sit up, learning how to swallow, my whole skin, all my hair was gone. Everything was different. And so, you know, when I'm in that space, when I was mute for that week, I was, you know, like, Jesus, you know, what's going on? Like, I'm trying to talk, but it was only me. There was only me there. And so that's the part. It was like, you know, when I was scared was when I was mute, and when I was calling on what I would know to be my safety, my savior, all of that. But there was only me. There was only me. And then what I realized was like, okay, of course, you know, when I get out of the hospital, and again, I'm turning to my Christian support system, community for fellowship and all of that. And all those people that I had tirelessly helped and given my love and my servitude to, they were not there for me in the ways that I deserved at all. Like, you know, people visited me those first couple of weeks and that was it. I think somebody brought me, you know, some food a couple of times and that was it. Everybody was just expecting me to hurry up and get back to normal. And I was so shocked by this, because this was coming from the people who were allegedly the holiest, the most set apart, the most godlike. And I could see that they were treating me the worst. And I was just like, and so again, you're asking me, I'm asking, where's Jesus? And so when I would pray, and I was still praying with that mindset of I'm praying to Jesus, every time I would pray and I would see, you know, in my visualization, again, I could see that there was this lack of light there. There was only the light that you need to sustain life was there, and everything else was darkness. And so it was just like, Jesus isn't there. And that's when I really started getting like what some people would call radical in my faith. And I'm just like, Jesus don't support none of this shit. Like, y'all over here carrying Jesus's name and y'all don't do none of the shit that he told y'all to do. Like, I became very vocal about the church is not doing what Jesus said at all. Jesus called us to love your neighbor as yourself. And yet Christian people hate anybody who's not them the first time. So it was like, I could see he's not here. I don't quite know. At that point in time, I didn't have, you know, the understanding of if he's real or if he's not. Or I just said, he not there. That's all I know. And that's what I can see very clearly, is that it ain't over there. So I was still struggling with, you know, those first maybe like 5 years. Because I got angry. You know, I was dealing with a lot. I was dealing with vision impairment. I was dealing with blindness. I was dealing with a lot. And I was mad. I was mad at God. I was like, how the fuck did you let me live? Like, I wanted to die and you let me live. And now I have to live like this. Like, I was angry. So I like denounced church. I was like, I'm done. Because if God can help all these hateful people, then he's not helping me. Then what did I do? You know, I was just angry because I wasn't seeing the truth. I wasn't seeing it for what it really was. And so during that time, I refused. I didn't want to listen to Christian music. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to anything. I denounced Christianity completely. And it was during that 5 year period of time. And this was around 2016 to 2020-ish, 2015 to 2020. That's when I started really unpacking spirituality. But it was scary because, again, it's demonic. Mm-hmm. Go to hell. Yeah. Look about it, think about it, and touch it. You're going to hell. Yeah. Amazon Prime. So I'm like scared. And I was still inviting that fear into my spirituality. And so it took me a little bit of time to realize, okay, there's peace here. This is the laws of nature. This is elements. This is things that God put in the world. We're using those things to heal. That's not negative. That's not evil. That's not demonic. It's demonic to separate us from ourselves and make us think that we need other entities outside of ourselves in order to be whole. So once I'm like not scared anymore and I'm approaching spirituality with more openness, I was able to very clearly see like what the Bible was supposed to tell us versus what they mistranslated it into. Mm-hmm. And I could almost see like the blueprint of the Bible because I didn't want to abandon everything that I knew. It didn't feel right to just say, you know, F this entire thing and I'm not going to have any, because that was, you know, I love the music. That was my memories. That was my family. That was my, you know, so, but I needed to figure out what was the truth and what was the lie. And so many of these stories, you know, they're partially true, but when you're looking at it from a fear-based perspective is where you get into all the mistranslation stuff. But when you look at it from wholeness, from what we were meant to be in as the Bible, as symbolism, it's actually a really good map for enlightenment, but just, it's got a whole bunch of bullshit on it right now. And they need a new edition. They need to update it. But I could see that like way more clearly after I sat with spirituality and observed the laws of nature and accepted that, okay, maybe this isn't the only truth. And then I'll never forget the day that I was like, okay, wait, let me just ask the question that I got in trouble for asking. If Christianity is true and all these people are in the world, why would God hand the only truth to a select group of American white people and tell them that they have to tell everybody else that this is true and convince everybody else that this is true, or we all go into hell? That just didn't make any sense. And when I said it out loud, it was like, and then I'm like, okay, wait, you telling me of all these names in the Bible, you know, there's that Leviticus, which is just names, and like, it's just names that, and I'm thinking, and all these people that followed Jesus were white people? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were in the middle of the Middle East. And it was just like, it was so clear to me, like once I said the thing out loud, and I'm just like, okay. So they made this a story that would fit a white supremacy narrative so that politics and capitalism and misogyny and bigotry could win, to disconnect everyone from their own power so that a lot of evil could still reign in the world. And when I said that, and I sat with that as truth, there was no fear in that. There was peace. And that's when things started to shift for me. Because when I had that moment of diving into the thing I thought I was scared of and demonic thing, and it was the peaceful thing, but the thing that told me this is the only truth has always been the most unpeaceful thing, I was like, oh. And I could feel it, because I could feel it in my body now. It wasn't just in my mind. It wasn't just in my spirit. My physical body could feel the truth of this now. And it was like, okay. And then slowly but surely, over those next few years of, you know, unpacking things, it was like, okay, I was able to heal. And then that's when the weird shit started happening. When I started having mediumship abilities, when I started having telepathy and people are just looking at me crazy because I'm reading their mind. And I didn't even know that's what I was doing. And then I'm having mediumship abilities that I didn't know that's what it was. You know, again, I was always scared of that stuff. I thought it was going to be this, you know, hallucination type thing. But when it happened for the first time and I wasn't even trying, and it was just like I was able to give somebody answers that they really needed to heal. And they were just thanking me, like they were just crying uncontrollably because I was able to channel real things from their love. Again, I was not supposed to know that. I've never met you. I don't know your person. I don't know nothing. This is clearly me being used by the divine. And when I saw that that wasn't bad, that nothing, you know, nothing caught on fire right afterwards. God didn't smite me. You know, there was nothing. But I knew that that person was going to be able to heal on her journey in a little more of a way than before. She was able to let some of that grief go, some of that self-blame go. And I was like, okay, this isn't bad. This isn't bad. Mm-hmm. And then when I started having experiences where my body was rapidly healing in ways that it shouldn't, I was like, okay, that's different. You know, like that was one of the things in Christianity. They talked about Jesus and how he came out of the tomb 3 days later. And even though he was all beaten and bruised, and then he came out and he was whole and his skin was normal and he had scars. And I'm like, okay, so why is my skin healing like that? And it was weird. Like, it wasn't a 3 day thing like Jesus. Do not be confused, internet. But it was literally a really obvious ability for my skin, my eyes, the things that were directly connected to Stephen Johnson's were able to heal in a way that was weird. So like my tattoos heal in days, not weeks. Before I had got tattoos, they would take weeks and weeks to heal. They would, you know, go through the whole process, but they would, now they go through the whole process in like 2 or 3 days. And then I started losing my vision. So again, part of this was attached to what was going on with me mentally. And my vision impairment was really making me depressed. And so back in 2021, and I was losing my vision rapidly at this point. So at this point, my vision was like 20/12/50, 2700. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, all I could see was like shapes and blobs. You know, I have a condition called limbal stem cell deficiency, and it's sort of an ebb and flow thing. Like, my vision isn't always bad, but I have things that affect it that make it more difficult to see. And it's usually environmental things. But anyways, long story short, at this point, they're telling me I need a stem cell transplant, and they're telling me I need this in order to save my vision. But my spirit is like, no, do not do that. And so, of course, my humanness is like, what do you mean? Like, I need to see. Like, what you're talking about? We gonna get this surgery. But everything I tried to do to get the surgery was not working. I mean, everything. I needed to lose a ridiculous amount of weight, and that had to do with the immunosuppression therapy that I would need after the surgery. But my body was like, no, 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 no. And so, after another breakdown, mental breakdown, I ended up telling the doctor, and they're like, okay, well, you're not a candidate for this procedure anymore. Like, good luck to you, basically. And I just thought that was it. I thought I was about to go blind. And I had always said that if I ever lost my vision, if I ever lost my vision, that I would commit suicide, because I didn't deserve to live like that. And I wasn't going to live like that. So I bring that up to say there was a lot of energy in this thing that's about to happen. So I go to my doctor that's here, because that was a specialist that was out of state. So I go to my doctor that's here, and I'm like, hey, they're telling me I can't have the transplant. I can't lose weight, you know, da 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 da. And there was all these things, you know, having a transplant meant I couldn't have kids. And I was 28 when this was happening. So when they're telling me the stuff about the stem cell, and then 31 when they're telling me, you know, you can't have it anymore. So all that, those years, you know, I'm trying and it's just not working. And nothing I do is allowing me to get what I think is going to save my vision. So they tell me, okay, well, you have massive cataracts. They didn't know that I had these cataracts or whatever. I'm like, I've been at this damn doctor every month. What you mean y'all didn't know that happened? So they're like, we can do cataract removal surgery, but it's not going to improve your vision that much. Like, you have the limbal stem cell deficiency. So it's only going to improve your vision maybe to get you 500, 700 on your best day. Or, you know, I have two different visions and two different eyes. So we're not thinking that this is going to be anything substantial. Like, I would still not be able to drive. I would still not be able to work. I would still be blind, legally blind. So I'm psyching myself up, because at this point, I'm scared of medical treatment. Rightfully so. All this stuff happened because of medical treatment. So I am avoiding medical treatment for the most part. And at this point, I'm not on any medications. I refuse to take medication. But something is telling me, like, just do this surgery, even though they say it's not going to work that much, just do it. And so I'm like, so I overcome all my fears. I do the surgery. And during the surgery, I have another outer body experience where I'm standing next to them, watching them, you know, operate on me. And I can see that there's like this coating stuff. This, again, it's that sparkly stuff, but there's just like other stuff. And I can see that like they're putting it in me. And I'm like, what if, you know, like, what is this? But I sort of know when I get into this space now, like, just watch. They're going to tell you, you're just supposed to watch, or just watch. Like, don't say nothing, just watch. So I'm just watching, but my physical body, they didn't completely put me out. So I'm halfway awake and halfway in this weird space. So my physical body is crying uncontrollably, losing it completely, having a panic attack entirely. I say all of that to say, I still do not know how that lady did not poke my eye out. She's literally doing eye surgery on me and I'm screaming and moving. They had to strap me to the bed.
Wow.
And there was all this stuff going on. So then, of course, they're like, you know, like trying to sedate me, but they're giving me so much medication. It's not working. Like, nothing is taking me completely out like it did, like it normally does. And so, okay, they finish the surgery. They wheel me back into the, you know, recovery room. And boom, all of a sudden I look and I can just fucking see. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh my God. So my doctor walks in the room. Mind you, this is the same doctor I've had for years. And I only know what she looks like if she's like this close to me, right? But she's standing across the room coming in the door and I can see her eyebrows. I can see all the things that I have not seen in years. And I'm just looking at her like, oh my God, I can see your eyebrows. It's like the first thing I said, she's like, you can't? And I'm like, yeah. And so she's like doing the whole numbers thing. And I'm like, you know, 2, 3, 1, you know, she's like, so she's like, well, maybe it's just the anesthesia. I'm like, girl, I'm looking at your face. Like, what are you talking about? I can see you. And so then, you know, she's like, okay, well, you have your appointment tomorrow. So let's just see, you know, these are very early critical hours of post-op. So we'll just examine you in the morning. So I go back less than 24 hours later. And my vision was 20/40.
Wow.
2012/50 to 40, and they told me I was only going to get to 700 in that eye. So it was like, what happened? And she's looking at me like, this was not supposed to happen. And so then, where I said, you know, my body just heals in weird ways. So she told me that under normal circumstances, people with that get this surgery, cataract removal, their normal eye takes 4 to 7 days to heal the incision. Me having limbal stem cell deficiency means that it should take me way more than that. They had scheduled all these appointments thinking that I was going to need all this infection control and all of this stuff because, oh, you don't have enough stem cells to recover your eye. The incision was closed. And she's looking at me like, your incision is closed already. And I was like, is that good? She was like, yeah, but we don't really know how that's possible. I was like, wait, so do I have limbal stem cell deficiency or no? And she was like, yeah, you do. But this is not normal. She's just like, Michelle, you know, you're not normal. So I'm like, okay, well, I could see. So in that moment, it was like, literally, like the veil was lifted and my vision was restored. And people, you know, people may come, oh, well, why do you still wear glasses? Because I like to protect my investment. My healing needs to be protected. Like, duh. Hello, you put stuff on protection over your $1,000 car. But anyway, so it's like, that was crazy. And then when they did the second surgery, it happened again. And it was like, this isn't supposed to happen. And me having this condition means that I'm not supposed to heal. Yet I'm healing in a way that's faster than people who don't have my condition. So after that, I was like, okay, there's something I'm supposed to do. There's something I'm supposed to do. And I think I know what it is. So
what did you think it was?
Well, I definitely know that I'm definitely meant to share this story. It's meant to be shared everywhere. It's meant to be a message that people can heal from just from hearing it, because the message is that we can all heal ourselves. We don't have to go through near-death experiences to have these gifts awakened in us. And it really just involves you going to heal your inner child. Like, I had to start my journey with seeing the worst thing that happened to that child. You have to go back and do that to yourself too, right? So, and it also is about, I saw the wellness center. I saw that I'm meant to have this place where people can heal, where it's real healing. And it's like what a church is supposed to be, but you actually get the help that you need. Everything about what the church says that they are, community fellowship, but actual good community and fellowship and healing. So I want to open a healing center. And I know that that's like what I'm here to do. And it was really hard to see this part of what I'm about to say, but it was like, they were clear about like, everyone has a purpose. Everyone's on their own journey. Like each person has their own little map that they're following, like their own little street, you know, that they're following. And my purpose was to go through this, to heal myself and help the masses. That was it. Like, but I had to unpack what that really looked like and what it really meant. And so for me, I thought that I was supposed to like, you know, just work and pour myself out. But no, I'm actually meant to sit in this rest because that's when my power and my energy is at its greatest. And little did I know that when we're in that energy, that's when we help people the most. When we are helping ourselves and we pour into ourselves and we're filling our own cup, us just existing in the same proximity as other people is healing for them. So it was like, just do your part. Don't worry about everybody else. Just do your part. But I'm like, no, but I need to help the world. No, just do your part. Just heal yourself. Yeah. Just heal yourself. That's going to heal the world. When you do it, you show them how. And that's what it was. It was like, oh. And then I couldn't believe that it was me. Like, it was like, me? You want me to do that? Like, I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Like, you want me to do the world? So it was like me really seeing my greatest power and my intention and like my purpose. And that this is what I agreed to. And this is a thing that my soul knew was going to happen and knew was going to, you know, all the things. And even that part was sort of hard for me to digest, you know, what does that really mean and all of that. But ultimately, I knew that this is something that's working across all timelines. It's not just happening in this one space. So it's healing now, the future, other realms, other everything. So I just see it like, okay, I'm just meant to show people how they're really supposed to heal. And who better to listen to than the girl who got burned up from the FDA medication that the doctor said was safe and it wasn't? Like, so going through all of this, I was able to see how we can heal from physical ailments with natural medicine, with natural herbal, you know, remedies and things. And it's not even just about, oh, you know, we're supposed to just be hippies and eat plants and all that. It's a part of it. But it's about, again, that body, mind, spirit thing and teaching people that we're meant to heal ourselves with body, nutrition, food, what we put into our bodies, with our mind, with our thoughts, what we're telling ourselves, with our emotional energy, healing through spirit, actually attaching to the right spiritual frequencies of love and exploring our spiritual beings for what they are, because we are spiritual beings having a human experience. This is Earth School, and this is just one place that our soul can go. This isn't even the only place. So remembering that helps us have this human experience how we're meant to have it. So once I was able to see like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I got into astrology and not just zodiac signs astrology, the actual art of ancient astrology, and seeing that, again, this is part of us knowing, this is part of us having a clear understanding of what our soul agreed to in this life. And so when I started moving with that energy, my life got a lot more peaceful. My life got a lot more healing. I had a lot more understanding about things and understanding sound frequency and how using our senses to heal is how we're meant to heal in that way. It's not just take a medicine for the rest of your life and pay this person for the rest of your life. It's not about creating customers. It's about literally curing yourself to where you don't need anything outside of you. Unless you do. And of course, like, there's a place for acute medicine. I'm not a person who thinks that you should just never go to the doctor. Like, I believe that medicine is meant to be more acute, right? It's meant to help us in emergencies. It's meant to help us when there's something really wrong. It's not meant to be like, oh, you have diabetes. Cool. Go to the doctor and take this medicine forever and ever and ever and always. Like, those expressions, those illnesses are our body expressing what our mind and spirit has been trying to tell us for years, usually. And so when it starts showing up in our body, that's because our mind has been replaying it. Our spirit has been not doing what it needs to do with it for a long time. And that's why it's showing up as a physical manifestation of disease. And all of those things are linked to our emotions. And again, this is science. We know this already. This isn't even spiritual. We know that our emotions have frequencies and chemicals and all that. But what we're disconnected from is how it actually all connects. And we're taught in our society to turn our emotions off and don't cry and don't get depressed. Don't be sad. Just be happy. But that's suppression. That gets us out of alignment. That gets us off balance. So much of my learning was just this what seems so basic. Like you took 10 years to tell me you just need me to cry and emote properly and process through things in a way that isn't fear-based. And then I can actually move that energy out of my body and out of, you know, properly. Like, that's it. That's all we have to do. Yes, it really is that simple. But the problem is that we've been disconnected for so long that it does take that consistency for us to really see it. It's when we get back into alignment, when I'm thrown off, you know, I do my things. I have my practices that I do to get myself back into where I feel at peace. I feel whole. But when I don't do that, it's not that I'm doing something wrong, or this is part of the experience. We're meant to live in that duality. It's not do this for the rest of your life and this is the only thing you're ever supposed to do. Right. It's meant to be balance, flow, state. That's what we're meant to do. So I'm here to help people understand that. My physical story is here to help inspire. My experience is to help people know they're not crazy and that all this stuff is real. And again, coming from the person who didn't believe in any of this prior to it, to now I wholeheartedly believe in the universe and I still believe in God. And that's such a misconception that people think I don't believe in God. I do believe in God. It's just not a man and it's not outside of myself. It's me. And I'm praying to a higher self that is connected to me, but it's also connected to everything else. So it's not a selfish, I'm God and I know everything. It's not that. But by knowing who you are, you tap into that pure frequency. That pure energy is what propels us in the future. All the stuff that's rooted in fear, whether it's money, all that stuff, it's not that we won't have money. We're going to have money in the future, but energy is currency now. And that's what's hard for people to see and accept. Like, the old ways of being are what's dissolving. And so people with authenticity, people with that pure energy, people who are operating in love, things that are operating in love are what can exist in this new frequency that our earth is ultimately shifting into. And it already happened. Like, it started a while ago. But again, it's a slow movement because time isn't real, but it's still, it's like time-like, you know, because we're still in a physical plane. So
right. So I'm curious about, okay, so your perception of God has changed, but I'm curious. So when you were, we'll just call it on the other side or these other realms, mm-hmm. you saw all different types of spirits. Can you tell me just a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I'll preface it by saying I did not spend a lot of time with these beings. And I think that was intentional because I was looking for Jesus. They weren't going to let me spend that much time with it, but I could just see that there was all different kinds. Like, I could see like the angel things that I told you. And then there was just different kind of beings. They didn't look scary, but they didn't look human either. They just looked like something I've never seen. I don't know. It wasn't like human form. It was just a different kind of being, but it was communicating in a way where I could see that it was like sending things telepathically. Like, it wasn't using, it didn't have a mouth or anything like that. And then I could see, like, it was more just like as if you just walked past a map. I could see Buddha, Jesus, those things. They were just over there, though. They weren't like the focal point, you know? And then I could see my ancestors, but I couldn't see them individually. I saw them kind of by that map thing. And again, they were showing me that ancestors are everywhere. I was connected to the whole, you know, everybody. And I wasn't really able to see like specific people because I didn't know anybody that died before this happened. Nobody in my family, aside from my great grandmother when I was 4, had passed. And I could see her, but she was just, again, it was like a passing thing. It wasn't like I could sit there and talk to it. It was just like, hey, this is real. Okay, now on to the next. You know, it was just looking like as if I was just, like I said, walking past a map and I could see it. And it was like, okay, it's real. And that was the only thing that I think I needed to take from that, was to let people know, like, there's other beings. We're not the only ones that are here. And it's selfish for us to think that we are. Hello, they created like how many other planets? 8 other planets? Well, 7 if we don't count Pluto. But like, to think we're the only life on the entire universe, that God would put all of this power in this one, you know, it's just, it wasn't that. So I could just see it briefly. And it was just like, yep, there's life there. There's life there. That was the takeaway message. But I didn't really interact with them a ton because I think this was, I was expecting that. I was expecting to talk to one figure or Jesus, or, you know, I maybe thought I would see Buddha, but I don't know. It was just, but that was like not even a focal point. It was so like, yeah, that's real. But anyway, look at this. So that's all I can say. Like, there wasn't any real interaction. I just knew that they were real and that there was other figures. Like I said, I saw the angels. They were the ones that I interacted with the most. And I think, again, it was because I was expecting for them to look a certain way and they weren't that way. And I needed to see them for who they were. Mm-hmm. And so I had the most interaction with them. But it was very minimal interaction. I was just standing there and I was able to telepathically communicate with it and see that it wasn't bad and that how it helps us. They're all over the place. Like, and again, anything I could look at, I could see where it was or where it would be or where it's been. And just all at once, like kind of just like this thought map would open up and I could just see all the stuff. But it was like, yeah, they're helping us. They're here and we can call on them. We literally just have to use our voice to speak. Our thoughts create all of this. Mm-hmm. And I could just see like, okay, well, that didn't look like what I was expecting. So cool, goodness.
And then you said, and this is the last thing I will ask you, you saw the future of Earth. And what did you see?
So again, very kind of brief, but I saw that a lot of stuff had to be destroyed. That was the hard part. I saw there's like this segment and it was just needed to end. It was just destroyed. So I could see that there was going to be a lot of wars. There was going to be a lot of fire. There was a lot of violence. I could just see it all happening, like, you know, at once when I'm looking in this view. So how I was seeing it happening in the world was that it would need to be this period of destruction. And I'm like, why? But we also have to remember that fire is, you know, one of those elements of creation. So when you destroy something, something new can be created. So that was the message, that we can't create something new until the old is destroyed. But I could see that we weren't all going to like, boom, like blow up and we were all just going to perish. It wasn't that. But I could see that everything that was connected to that frequency of pain, lies, hate, fear, all of that is what was being destroyed. Everything that was attached to that was being destroyed. And I could just see like, but everything and everybody who was in the energy of love was fine. It was like, it was just standing outside of what was happening. So it was kind of this message of like, again, there's going to be a lot of destruction, but good is on the other side and we are going to be okay, but we have to wake up. We have to shift the consciousness to a higher frequency. And again, it's happening whether we want to or not. This is not up to us. Despite what Christians made us think, they didn't make it all on us. We're experiencing this. That's it. You have a choice of whether you want to or whether you don't. If you say that you don't want to go to the higher frequency, you're going to stay in that energy of destruction and everything attached to it will be destroyed. But how I also saw it was like, it's not going to nothing, because energy is neither created nor destroyed. It doesn't just blow up and dissolve into nothing. It's almost like an archive. So I was seeing like the world is, the old is getting archived. And then it was just like this new world that, and I could see like, it was just more love based. Like the people were happy and it was unity and community. And again, I was seeing the glimpse of that Pangea thing again, symbolism, but I think it was more about like, we're moving into oneness.
Oneness,
we're moving back. Because again, it's a circle. And so where there's in the beginning, there has to be an ending. So we're like, you know, if this is the circle, we're like right here in this new, like the new is already here and it's being ushered in. But it's like this little part that cannot exist where we're going is what's being pushed out right now. And it's in the form of the violence that we are actively seeing happening. The destruction of politics, the destruction of governmental entities are being destroyed. And that was all part of it. And I could see my future more than I could see the future of the world. When I saw the future of the world, again, it was a collective view. So I just sort of like zoomed out and I could just see like the bigger picture. But when I saw my future, I was able to see more detailed things. Because again, when we look to ourselves, we can see more. But when we're looking outside of ourselves, you can only see what you're allowed to see. And that was the other thing that they made it very clear. Like I could not see everything. This was just about seeing what was necessary for right now. And I will never forget when I was standing there and I was just like, okay, like I'm still in that sort of emotional space. And I'm like, I don't want to go back. Like, if you're telling me the world is about to be destroyed, like I don't go back. And I tried to like jump through the thing and it was like, and it just like snatched me back so quick. Like nothing of darkness, nothing of pain, fear, nothing can exist in that space. Like, so as soon as I was like disobedient, it snatched me right out of that space. It's like I lost that privilege. Like, we told you could not do that and you did it anyway. Like, now you can't be more. So I was just like able to see, like, hey, we're gonna be okay. I see the end. I see what it's gonna be when this is all over. With that destructive part, yeah, it's what's happening right now. And that's the scary part, because I have to remind myself all the time that I saw that we're gonna be okay. I saw that the other side of things. I saw that there's peace. I know that I'm aligned with the frequency of love, so I'm okay. Like, that's it. And that's that, again, humanness, right? My humanness is showing up. Oh my God, is this real? What if the rapture is real and we all dissipate? You know, like, we have those moments sometimes. But again, now my programming is pure intentions and a pure light. It's not fear-based. So I can bring myself back to reality of, hey, you already know. We showed you. So relax. Do your job. So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then I think lastly, this is what I'm also kind of curious about, is this whole concept of remote viewing. So are you saying there's caps on what you can remote view and what you're allowed to see elsewhere? Like, what are the limitations from your experience?
The limitations are based on how pure your intentions are, because they're not going to allow you to see anything and use it for harm. I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but you lose the ability to do that the more you die. Like, you, what's the word I'm looking for? You tarnish the energy when you don't have pure intention. So you may be able to do it once, but you probably won't be able to keep doing it. But to your question, we are able to remote view. And the way to, again, you have to believe that you can. That's the first thing, is allowing yourself to believe that it's possible. And don't limit yourself on what it looks like. Because I had this idea of, like, you know, we have this fantasy of what this spiritual stuff looks like, but it's a mental image. It's a, you see it in your third eye, or at least that's how it started with me after I woke up, because I was able to do it afterwards. But the view that I had when I was in the spirit realm was like way close up. You know, I could just move throughout it in a different way. But we're able to do it, but you just can't do it with negative intentions. And again, where we're moving into this spiritual space, those gifts are coming online, but people that aren't operating them in the energy of love won't be able to operate them. And that's why I say, like, all that stuff is sort of dissolving off, but people are able to do it.
Yes, they are. Well, Kalia, thank you so much for sharing your story. It was, I mean, my God, I can't even imagine, like, everything that you've been through. It's wild. You know, it's like, it's easy to see the blessing, but my God, like, to endure the whole process, that's hard. You know,
it's letting me share. It's an honor to be able to share this. It really is, because I never thought I would be able to talk about this. And it was only last year that I started telling this part of the story, and I'm realizing this is where the most healing can happen. You know, this spirit realm space. I'm taking my own advice. I got to speak on the spirit realm. So I appreciate the opportunity, because I love helping people. And that's always been my joy, my heart, long before I was, you know, all this stuff. I've just always loved helping people. So anytime I can share, I'm happy to.
And if anybody wants to connect with you, how can they find you?
So I'm the Kalia Sage on all the social media. So I have Facebook, I have Instagram. I do a lot of my posting on TikTok because it's just easier. But I'm also on YouTube. I will be posting on YouTube more. And then I also have a Linktree. I think I sent you that link. But if I also do readings, so if anyone wants to work with me, I'm here. Just look for me. This is what it is. Like, this is really me. Like, this is not an act. You can ask anybody. This is me. So prepare to be amazed.
Thank you so much, Kalia, and everybody. Thank you. Have a great week ahead. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.